Welcome back to our series on Kings and Prophets at the Tanakh Study Center, sponsored by the Cyprus Foundation in conjunction with the OU and the Tanakh Yomi Project. In today's year, we continue our study of the book of Yeshayahu in conjunction with the time period of Menashe in the book of Melachim. Before we begin our share, a quick review of the main points of our last year. Our claim was as follows. Even though there are many allusions to the beginning of the Second Temple period in this unit from chapter 40 to 66, and it's possible to almost explain all these chapters as relating to the beginning of the Second Temple period, our contention was that it's possible to explain these parkim as primarily dealing with the time period of Menashe or post-Chizkiyahu, and we'll try to explain why. Our main contention was that in the final years of Yeshayahu, he's already seen almost an entire destruction of Am Yisrael. The 10 tribes have gone into exile. Most of the cities of Yehuda have been destroyed. Yerushalayim was saved at the last minute. But nonetheless, in his final years, as Menashe had taken over, and Menashe had basically closed down the temple, he turned it into a place of idol worship. And after Chizkiyahu had already made a deal with a delegation from Bavel, Yeshayahu foresaw that these same Babylonians that the kings of Yehuda were trying to make a deal with are going to come and take over his country. And he predicted the fall of Yerushalayim and the taking over of its kingdom by Bavel. Then it should not surprise us that before his death, Yeshayahu writes an entire series of prophecies where he comforts the Jewish people, expecting their exile to Bavel very shortly, within the next decade or so, and hence trying to give the people hope that even though they're being exiled to Bavel, there's hope indeed that they can return. What we're going to try and show in today's shir, in what way Yeshayahu is trying to shape the future more than predict the future. Again, the primary point that Yeshayahu was going to make is that God has not forsaken his people. His covenant with Am Yisrael is not broken, that the Jewish people should not understand their exile as meaning that God has broken off his covenant, but rather they're going into some type of rehabilitation in exile. We also raise the possibility that it could be that several short sections of this unit may have been added by later Nevi'im in the beginning of the Second Temple period, or maybe right before the return to Tzion in the time of Koresh. In other words, once Koresh was identified as the Persian leader who's going to bring about this redemption, it can make sense that a later Navi can add on several lines, more specifically about Bavel. Nonetheless, we try to identify that the gist of these Nevuot and the primary content was still from Yeshayahu himself. And that we're going to try and show today, because this theme of redemption, both the purpose in the redemption and the way redemption will be achieved, are going to be very congruent with the very same themes that we saw in the beginning of the book of Yeshayahu and his focus on the need of Am Yisrael to improve their behavior in the realm of tzedek u'mishpat, in the realm of social justice. So in today's shiur, we're going to skip over the majority of the content of these parakim, which focus on comforting Am Yisrael that God has not forsaken them, and that God is powerful, and God is able, and that God is capable of redemption. And that, no doubt, is one of Yeshayahu's primary points. Nonetheless, we're going to pick up on the other theme, not only in regard to God's ability to redeem and how powerful God is, but more so on what he expects from the people that he's going to redeem. We're going to begin in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Chet, where Yeshayahu talks about this concept that Am Yisrael was chosen to serve God. In Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Chet, chapter 41, verse 8, Yeshayahu says as follows, Vata Yisrael Avdi, and you, Yisrael, my servant, Yaakov, the one who I've chosen, Zera Avram Avi, from the seed of Avram, the one who I've loved. The point Yeshayahu is making here is that Am Yisrael was chosen to serve God. I called upon you from all corners of the earth. I told you, you are my servant. I've chosen you and I haven't forsaken you. Again, Am Yisrael knows that they were chosen by God since the time of Avram Avinu. But the big question is that chosenness, is it eternal? Or does it end with the destruction of the first temple? In other words, is Am Yisrael supposed to interpret their exile as God has broken his covenant with his people? Or are they supposed to understand it as rehabilitation and God has not forsaken his people? Rather, he's sending them into exile in order for them to return to him and improve. Therefore, the Navi continues, Atira Kimchani, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And he continues that he's there to support them and help them and bring them through redemption. I want to skip ahead to show this idea in chapter 50, in Perek Nun, the opening pasuk, Kicho Amar Hashem, Eze Sefer Kritot Imechem Asher Shlachtiha. Did I ever send you a divorce paper? Did I ever send you a Sefer Kritot, a divorce? Omi Minoshai Asher Machati Etchem Lo, Heim Bavonotechem Nimkartem, Upishechem Shuchai Mechem. The reason why you went into exile is not because I divorced you. I didn't get rid of you. I didn't break my covenant with you. That's what the people had thought. No, I'm sending you into exile because you've sinned and you need rehabilitation. So this idea that Am Yisrael might think that they would interpret their exile as God leaving them, Yishayahu has to counter that understanding, a very logical conclusion that many of the people may have reached in the time of Chizkiyahu, that despite their prayers, God doesn't answer them. And the situation consistently gets worse, the people may think that God has forsaken them, God had left them, and God doesn't want them. Yishayahu has to fight that entire approach and that entire conclusion that no, don't interpret your calamity as God leaving you. Rather, your calamity is a punishment from God because you have left him. This idea of a servant of God, Am Yisrael chosen to serve God, which is obviously one of the main themes of Chumash, and for sure one of the main themes of Yishayahu, continues in chapter 42 in a very interesting way. In Perek Mem Bet, chapter 42 begins as follows. Hein avdi etmoch bo, b'chiri ratzta nafshi. Very similar to what we saw in verse 8 in chapter 41. My servant, I'm going to support him. The one who I've chosen, I want him. Natati ruchi alav. I put my spirit with him. Mishpat legoim yotzi. His job is to bring mishpat and justice to all the nations. Lo yitzak v'lo yisa, lo yashmiya b'chutz kolo, he won't scream and yell. His redemption and his justice won't come through war and screaming and yelling, instead, through his acts of righteousness. As he says later on, l'emet yotzi mishpat. Then Yishayahu continues in Pasuk Hei, in chapter 42, verse 5, which just so happens to be the Haftarah for Shabbat Parshat Breshit. And we're going to read the opening line, and we'll see why Chazal chose this for the Haftarah. Notice how many words relate to the creation story in Sefer Breshit. Ko amar ha'el Hashem, borei ha'shamayim v'notehem. Thus says God, the creator of heavens and earth and spreading them out, roka ha'aretz v'tzatza'eha, like the word rakia, but here he spreads out, he stretched out the land, and then Yishayahu says something beautiful. Notein neshama la'am aleha. God gave a neshama to a nation upon it. V'rach lochim ba. Now, if you recall in Sefer Breshit, Borei Shamayim V'notehem, Roka Arz V'Tzatza'el, it's very similar to the first chapter in Breshit, the story of creation. The concept of neshama is unique to chapter 2 in Breshit, where God gives a neshama when he creates man. Radak points out, and most commentators agree, that the word neshama is unique to the creation of man. All living things have a nefesh, but neshama is unique to God's creation of man because he has Ruach Elohim, the godliness of man. His similarity to God himself and his creation in the image of God may relate in Breshit to the use of the word neshama. Now, if you recall from Sefer Breshit, God gives neshama to Adam HaRishon, he gives a neshama to an individual. Here Yishayahu is saying, God's giving a neshama to a nation. This may be a type of interpretation of Sefer Breshit, because Sefer Breshit begins with the story of creation. After the story of creation, and then recreation, after the story of the flood, the next focus of Sefer Breshit, from chapter 12, begins with God's choice of Avraham Avinu. But one could understand the entire book of Breshit as a book of creation, what Chazal calls Sefer HaYitzirah. In fact, if you look in the Ramban's introduction to Sefer Shmot, where he talks in his first two lines about the purpose of Sefer Breshit, he calls Sefer Breshit the book of Yitzirah, and what is being created, not only the heavens and earth, but Am Yisrael is being created. And that theme we'll see over and over again in Yishayahu. We'll see later on, Amzu Yatzati Li, Tilati Yisaperu. God did not only create heavens and earth, he created a nation. And he gave a neshama to that nation. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats Am Yisrael as an organic unit. The concept that we call Knesset Yisrael, or Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael as a nation enters the covenant at Har Sinai. Am Yisrael as a nation brings a Korban Tzibor. Am Yisrael as a nation davens to God. It's through our nationhood and through our collective identity that we turn to God in prayer. That's one of the main concepts of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Here Yishayahu is saying, God not only created heavens and earth, he also created a nation, the nation that we call Am Yisrael, and gave it a neshama, gave that nation a connection to God. The Nebbi continues in Pasuk Gav, Ani Hashem Kraticha Betzedek V'Chazek B'Yadecha. I called upon you with righteousness, and I helped you, I held your hand, I strengthened you. V'Tzarcha, meaning either I created you or I protected you. And then the Nebbi continues and says, V'Tencha Levrit Am Lo'orgoyim. I gave you this nation that I made a brit with that nation. That's Sefer Bereshit. God not only created a nation and gave it a neshama, He enters a covenant with that nation. That's Brit Milah, Sefer Bereshit. That's Brit Avot, the covenant that God makes with Am Yisrael, with Avraham Avinu. Here Yeshayahu calls a Brit Am. And what is the purpose of that Brit Am? Lo'or Goim, to be light to other nations. The famous phrase that Am Yisrael was chosen by God to be light to other nations is coined here by Yeshayahu. Here we have the source of the famous phrase that everyone uses, that Am Yisrael was chosen to be a light to other nations. This concept of Or L'Goyim, which is so classic to Yeshayahu. If you go back to Yeshayahu chapter 2, his Chazon of Achrit HaYamim, that we discussed in our opening shir, here we see that same idea coming, repeating itself, and then he continues in Pasuk Zayin, Lifkoach Einayim Ivrot, to open up the eyes of the blind, Lotzi Mezger Asir, to take those in jail and bring them to freedom, Vibit Kelo Yoshvei Choshech, those sitting in darkness, take them out of jail. If I take the simple meaning of these words, that Am Yisrael was chosen to open up the eyes of the blind, maybe that means we should all be ophthalmologists. I think here, using this concept as a metaphor, and someone who's blind is someone who can't see God, and Am Yisrael's job is to make sure other nations can see God, to be Or L'Goyim, to give them might, and give them the ability to see God. And here in this analogy, Lifkoach Einayim Ivrot, Am Yisrael was chosen to open up the eyes, the blind eyes of those who don't see God. Now here Yeshayahu is not making a prediction, he's reminding Am Yisrael as he talks about God's willingness and readiness to redeem His people. Yeshayahu has to remind the people, why is it that He's redeeming them? Am Yisrael was chosen to serve God. That's why Avraham Avinu was chosen. And that's why there's so many references and analogies back to the time period of the Avot and to Sefer Bereshit. Before we continue, there were several words there that we saw, and it's going to continue over and over again in this unit. If you're familiar with Tehillim Kuf Zayin, chapter 107 in Tehillim, it's the Mizmor that we see on Yom HaTzimut. It's a very famous Mizmor, which is the basis of what we call Birchat HaGomel, when someone is saved from trouble and has to thank God publicly and bring a Korban Todah. The source of who has to bring that Korban and when it's brought is in Tehillim 107. In Tehillim 107, starting from Pasuk Lamed Gimel, we see these phrases repeated over and over again in this section of Yeshayahu. Yesem Norot LeMidbar, God can take rivers and turn them to a desert. Umotzei Maim LeTzimon, sources of water, He can dry them out. Eretz Prilam Lechai, can take her fruitful land and make it dry. Why? Mirat Yoshveba, because of the wickedness and the evil of the people living there. On the other hand, God can do the opposite. Yesem Midbar LaGamayim, He can take a desert and bring it, turn it into a lake of water. Eretz Tzia LeMotzei Maim, He can take a dry desert land and make it a source of water. V'yoshev Sham Revim, V'yachanu Ir Mashav, He can bring hungry people there, start settlements, they can plant the fields. You can see why they chose this for Yom HaTzimut. And then finally, in the last line, Yeru Yishrayim Yismachu, those who are straight, let them see this and understand this and let them be happy. And then he concludes, Michacham Vishmor Elevit Banunu Chazdei Hashem, who is wise and can study these events and look at history and understand the kindness and the chesed of God and how He treats man, and He oversees the history of Am Yisrael. Now if you look at the opening lines of Tehillim Kuf Zayin, you'll see, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lolam Chasdo, we're commanded to praise God. But who's being commanded? Yomru Gulei Hashem Asher Galam Yatzar. Who is commanded to praise God and thank Him? Those who God has redeemed from any trouble, Umeatzot Kibsam, who's brought them from many lands, Mimitzrach, Mimarav, from east and west, Umitzafon Umayam, from north and south. And then he continues and brings cases of how people can return from exile and return to Israel. Tov Bamidbar, the first case, people lost in the desert. There's another case, people sick and ill. Another case, people in jail. Another case of people traveling by sea and almost lost at sea and cry out to God and God saves them. Those are the famous cases of when we bench Gomel. But as you go through these Prakim in Yeshayahu, notice all the textual similarities between these Prakim in Yeshayahu and this Perek in Tehillim. There's no doubt Yeshayahu is using Tehillim 107 as a model of redemption. And that's what makes these Prakim so generic, and that's why they can apply to so many different time periods. They fit the end of Beit Rishon, they fit the beginning of Beit Sheni, they fit our own time period, they fit the future. Because again, Yeshayahu is not predicting specific events. Yeshayahu is talking about patterns in Jewish history, patterns in redemption the fact that God can redeem, the fact that his covenant with Am Yisrael will never be broken, and the fact that when he does redeem his people, there's a purpose in that redemption, and Am Yisrael needs to know for what purpose they were chosen and for what purpose they're being redeemed. We're going to continue now with this idea in Perek Mem Gimel, in chapter 43 in Yishayahu, Pasuk Yud. Yishayahu says as follows, Atem edainu Hashem, ba'avdi asher bachartei, leman tedu v'taminu li, v'tavinu ki anihu, lefanai lo notzar el v'acharai lo yiyeh. Summarizing the same idea we talked about, you're my witnesses, God says, and you're my servant that I chose, ba'avdi asher bachartei. You, Am Yisrael, are the nation that I've chosen to serve me, in order that you should know and believe in me, and know that I am God. Later on in that parak, in chapter 43, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, we have the opening line of the Haftara from Parsha Vayikra. Am zu yatzarti li. This nation I created for my sake, for my purpose. Tilati saperu. They have to sing my praises, like we saw in Tidim Kuv Zayin. Hudu Lashem. Am Yisrael has to praise God. Yodu Lashem. Chazdo v'niflotad divnei Adam. Am Yisrael, when they're saved and God intervenes in their history, they're commanded to sing God's praises. Towards the end of that Haftarah, in the beginning of Perek Mem Dalet, the beginning of chapter 44, Vatash Yaakov Avdi, again, listen Yaakov, my servant, Yisrael Bachartibo, Yisrael, the nation that I chose. Then finally, towards the end of Perek Mem Dalet, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Zachar Ele Yaakov, remember this, Yaakov, Yisrael Ki Avdi Ata. Remember Yisrael, that you are my servant. Yitzarticha Evidly, I created you to serve me. Ata Yisrael lo tinasheni. Now you Israel, do not forsake me, don't leave me. What's God willing to do? Machiti cha psha'echa v'chanan chatotecha, shuva elai ki galticha. Famous psukim which we say in davening, especially in Yom Kippur, God saying, I'm willing to forgive your sins. I'm willing to give you a new start. Return to me, I'm coming to redeem you. This purpose of redemption here is crystal clear. God's telling his people, I chose you to serve me. I'm redeeming you so you can serve me. You have a bad past? I'll forgive you. I'll open up a new page. And therefore, that pasuk is so critical in our tefillot on Yom Kippurim. Now, towards the end of chapter 44 is one of the anchors of the approach that these prakim are for the time period of the beginning of the Second Temple period. It says in Pasuk Havav, Mekim Dvar Avdo Vatzat Malachim Yashlim Homer Yushlaim Tushav L'Rei Yudati Banena V'Chorvot HaKomeim. He's going to tell Yerushalayim, his nation will return there, the cities of Yudah will be built again, and its destroyed places he'll reestablish. And then he concludes, again, up until now, this is all fine, even in the time of Menashe. Remember, almost everything had been destroyed. But then he adds in Pasuk Chavchet, Homer l'choresh ro'i v'chol chafsi yashlim le'mor Yerushalayim tibaneh v'echal tibased, saying, Koresh is God's shepherd here, who's going to bring his people back, and he's going to build Yerushalayim and establish the Heichal, that fits so nicely to the opening lines of Sefer Ezra, that you almost have to conclude that these psukim may relate to that time period. I brought up a possibility this may be an earlier Koresh, the Koresh who was living in the time of Menashe, who was already around, and a possible enemy of Bavel, and Yishayahu might be foreseeing that growth of that Koresh. Or it could be that this pasuk is an add-on from the beginning of the Second Temple period, when Koresh gives his famous declaration. And in the theme of Yishayahu Til here, we have a little insert where later Navi, in the beginning of the temple, and in the beginning of Bayit Sheni, may add a little addendum to what Yishayahu was talking about before. There is, therefore, in Perek Memhei, in chapter 45, Kol Amar Hashem Limshicho LaKoresh, and he continues, God's word to Koresh, who he's supporting, who he's giving victory to, and then he says in Pasuk Dalet, Leman Avdi Yaakov Yisrael Bechiri. Why is God giving this victory to Koresh for the sake of my servant Yaakov and Yisrael, the nation that I've chosen? In Perek Mem Tet, chapter 49, Pasuk Yedalet, verse 14, we have another Haftarah beginning, a very famous one. V'tomer Tzion azavani Hashem, v'Hashem shechani. Am Yisrael was saying, God left me. God has forgotten me. And then God answers back, Hatishkach isha ula, mrachem ben bina. Would a woman forget her child? He says, even if they would forget, God says, I would never forget. And God continues again his same theme, that he'll never forget his people. Ultimately, he'll come and redeem them. Again, this theme is not specific to one time period. This is generic throughout Jewish history. Now, from here on, Yishayahu is going to be a little more specific about what he expects from his people. In chapter 51, Yishayahu gets down to business and makes it much clearer other than the fact that Am Yisrael is chosen to serve God, in what way do they serve God? Chapter 51, the opening pasuk, Nun Aleph Aleph, Shimu Elai Rodfei Tzedek Mavakshei Hashem. Listen to me, those searching after justice, looking for God. Again, Ki Nicham Hashem Tzion, God now is comforting Tzion, He's returning them, He's going to rebuild all the destroyed places, but the purpose of that return and the rebuilding is in order to create the nation that God had hoped for at Matan Torah. Then he continues in Pasuk Zayin, in chapter 51, verse 7, Shumo Elai Yodei Tzedek, listen to me, those who know righteousness, Am Torati Belibam, a nation with my laws, with my Torah in their heart, Al Tiru Chepat Enosh, Umigiduf Patam Atechatu, don't be afraid of people making fun of you. Instead, in Pasuk Yod Aleph, Ufti Hashem Yishuvun, Uvol V'Bitzion Brina, V'Simchat Olam Arosham, V'Sasvam V'Simcha Yesigun, Nasu Yagon Vanacha. Famous Pesukim of Yishayahu, that those redeemed by God will return, they'll be happy, happiness and joy will accompany them as they return to the land. In chapter 54, in Perek Nun Dalet, another haftar of Anyas Sara Lo Nuchama, remember these are the haftarot of Shiva de Nechamta, Chazal picked these haftarot for the 7 weeks after Tisha B'Av, which is so fitting because the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we didn't follow God's laws properly. And the haftarot that we picked from Yishayahu, and now we talk about redemption, but also how we have to act in redemption. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'chol Benaich Limudi Hashem, Rav Shalom Benaich, we darshan that Pasuk, often in davening, Atrike Benaich Lebonaich, and then the Nevi continues in Pasuk Yud Dalet, B'tztakat Tekonani, how will you establish yourself back in the land? With tztaka, with righteousness, Rachakim Me'oshek, go away, run away from oppression, from repressing others. And then finally, again we can make many more proofs, but we'll get some of the main ones, in Perek Nun Vav, in chapter 56, keep mishpat and do tztaka, do justice and righteousness. My redemption is coming very soon. It's going to make itself known. It's going to reveal itself. Therefore, that's what I'm going to do. What do you need to do? Shimru mishpat vasu tztaka. Remember the opening parak of Yishayahu, Tzion b'mishpat tefedah v'shabat b'tztaka, that whole theme of tzedek mishpat that we saw earlier in Mashal HaKerem as well. All those themes are going to repeat itself again in the second section of Yishayahu. The thrust of this content is classic Yishayahu. And finally, in Perek Nun Chet, in chapter 58, which just by chance is the haftara that Chazal chose for Yom Kippur. And you would think Yom Kippur is such a holy day, we talk about holiness and fasting. In chapter 58, Yishayahu yells at people fasting. And he talks about what real return to God is. Of course, we have to fast to remember how we need to act. But here Yishayahu is yelling at the people who think that fasting is a value in itself and not a value of fasting in order to get the people to reflect on their behavior. In chapter 58, verse 1, Kra b'garon al tachsoch. Yishayahu says, call out with your voice, with your throat, and don't hold back at all. K'shofar harim kolecha. Raise up your voice like a shofar. Tell my people what they've done wrong. God's telling the Navi, give it to him. Yell at them. Raise your voice and explain to the people what they're doing wrong. And look how nicely this fits, how sadly in many ways, it fits into the time period that we saw of Chizkiyahu and later Menashe. My nation, every day, they're looking for me. They want to know my ways. They're acting like a nation who's following me. They think that they're religious. They think they're doing the right things. They want to get close to God. They want to find God. But their actions don't match up to it. The people were saying, how come we're fasting and you didn't see? The people were yelling at God, we're fasting, we're davening, we're praying. We'll bring you sacrifices and you don't listen, you don't answer. That's exactly the situation that we saw in the time of Chizkiyahu, where the people were davening to God and praying to God, and they think they're religious. They're following all the laws of Tuma and Tara, and Yishayahu is telling them, God's not with you because your behavior among one another is repugnant. I suggest you read the rest of the chapter on your own. It's so powerful and strong. Again, we read it every year on Yom Kippur. He continues, Yishayahu, and says, you think that what God wants is a fast day where people rent their clothes and stop eating? He says, what's a real fast day? This is the fast day I want. על הפרוסל לחמך, בנים מרודים תבי בית, כי תראה על רום וחיסיתום, שרחה לא תתעלם. What's a real fast day? Make sure there's justice in the marketplace. If someone's hungry, feed them. Bring the poor and unhappy people into your home. You see someone without clothing, give them clothing. As yibaka kashacharecha, then your light will shine through like the morning rays of the sun. In that way, you'll be representing the glory of God. Your righteousness will be leading the way in front of you. As tikra b'Hashem yaneh, then, if that's your behavior, if that's the way you're acting, then when you daven, then when you call out, God will answer you. If you get rid of your ways of iniquity, if you go straight in your ways and follow God properly, act in the proper way, then when you daven, God will answer you. But if all you're doing is praying, if all you're doing is bringing korbanot, if you're only asking God, come help me, if you're just turning to God in prayer, but your actions don't match your words, God says, don't be surprised, I don't answer your prayers. In a very beautiful way, Chazal chose this chapter to be read on Yom Kippurim. One last line, Samach Aleph, chapter 61, verse 8 and 9. Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat, I'm God, the one who loves justice. Sonei gazel, v'natati b'lotam be'emet uvrit olam echot lehem. I'm going to make an eternal covenant with my people, but I want them to act with truth and justice. V'nodav v'goyim zaram, then their offspring, the offspring of Am Yisrael, will be known to all the nations, v'tzatzaim b'toch amim, everyone who sees them will recognize him. This is the nation, this is the seed that God has chosen and blessed. Meaning, our ability to make a name for God, to bring light to the other nations, is based primarily on our behavior, and our behavior between man and his fellow man, and our constant recognition of God as the God of all mankind, and our recognition that we're chosen to serve God. The primary way we serve God is through our behavior. That will make us the nation that God wants. That will make redemption complete, and that will give God a good reason to bring us back to our land. So in summary, I try to jump around from chapter 40 through 66. We didn't read everything. We just read a couple of select places. But trying to show how the main point that Yeshayahu wants to make here is not only that God is capable of redeeming, and God hasn't forsaken his people, but more so what God expects from the nation that he's redeeming, that they're chosen to serve him, and how they have to serve him, and how they can't make the same mistakes of the first temple period. They can't make the same mistakes from the time of Achaz and Uziel that Yeshayahu talked about in the beginning, and therefore the devotion of Nechama are not just comfort that things will get better, but when they do get better, there's a reason why they're going to get better, but it's a two-way street, and God has expectations from his people as well.